We welcome Sharon Weaver as our speaker today. Sharon earned a master's degree in divinity at Vanderbilt University, and she has held work positions as a teacher, nonprofit worker, and college professor. Sharon currently operates a consulting company called Spiritual Care Providers. The title of Sharon's sermon is Tribal Customs and Rituals. Let's welcome Sharon.
Clock. I have to see my glass to get my glasses out. 20 minutes. Okay. Tribal customs and rituals. I wanted to share that today because I really want to say hi, tribe, when I come. I like that word, tribe. And I wanted to talk about it because it's very difficult. We're entering into the season. I love that story, Ben. Thank you. And it reminded me, I'm just like, I get this image of it, everybody strapping on their roller skates. I waited till late yesterday to go out to do some shopping, and I was like, gosh, what happened? You know, where's the food that was on the shelves? And it was just pillaging was the word that came to mind. It had been pillaged, the grocery store. And it dawned on me, oh, yeah, that's right. Thanksgiving's coming, and I'm sure it will be continuously that way up until and probably the day of as people rush to get their last-minute things. And it gives me this imagery that one of the professors gave us as he told us he was going to take us through the history of Catholicism, so strap on your roller skates, meaning he's not slowing down. And so I felt that way. I felt like, okay, people are strapping on the roller skates because it's the season of holidays, you know? And like Moose, there's so much to do if you want to participate. And, you know, most of the time I push back against that and say, well, you're going to don't check out. Don't do it. But if you're not careful, then you miss some of the fun, right? I mean, I have to say, the tree's pretty out there. But it could be anything that was lit with red and it'd be really pretty, I'd think, you know, kind of different. We have people in our neighborhood that have their Christmas lights up already, and I can say Christmas lights because that's what they are. So there's lots of different things happening that are important to us one way or another as a society and as a culture. And it's hard this year. It's hard this year, as it was last year and the year before last, and every year that we've done that. If you don't feel as involved, if you don't feel you fit perhaps the belief systems, just the commercialism, or perhaps, like me, you've had a significant loss this year. That's very difficult. And we love our traditions, but my tradition is gone. I can speak for me. My family is disintegrated. With mom in memory care and my brother in a group home, we're trying to figure out how we go back and what will it mean to piece and patch together some sort of something. And so I realized, you know, at this time of year, maybe family is not the right word to use. And I use it anyway, but what I really want to think about it are people that matter to me and people I have a lot in common with, people that I share things with, and more the people I choose to claim, and they choose to claim me. And so I thought, well, what's a good word for that? I'm going to call it tribe. You know, let's think about it as our tribe. And what does it mean to have a tribe? So I began to think about it that way because, you know, your family, like it or not, the link there a lot of time is blood, right? You were born into and you get the genealogy and you're looking at people that you don't know and hope to not see again until next year or maybe even a couple years and you sometimes have to have rules at the table. Okay, we're going to sit down and eat, which needs to be a very pleasant experience for proper digestion, right? And to honor the food and the work. But, you know, somebody starts off with, let us pray. And right then and there, you're off to the races, you know? And it doesn't matter because somebody's going to pray in a different way or you don't pray or you don't whatever. And it can be very stress-filled. The only thing sometimes you can guarantee is indigestion. So what if we look at sharing our culture and our experiences with tribes people we want to be with. And even if you go to family because you want to love them and you do love them, but as imperfect as it all is, you still need to immerse yourself in your tribe, those you want to be with, and really have commonalities that draw you together. Now, there's lots written on tribes, and I encourage you to do a little exploration if you'd like yourself. There's even a TED Talk by a PhD in management and organization, so you're going to get a little of that slant. But he is from the University of Southern California, David Logan, and he talks about five different stages of tribes, and it wasn't something I found particularly that I wanted to talk about today, but I'm just sharing resources with you that you might want to explore. Some of the ones I did look at was Elaine Ramshaw's Ritual and Pastoral Care, when we talk about ritual. And the other is, is Robert Gregory, and I'll be quoting extensively from an article he wrote when we talk about some of the problems, and he looks at how we define tribes. So let's start there with, what is a tribe then? Can we just claim it? I guess we can kind of claim a lot of things. So David Logan, first of all, says a tribe usually constitutes 20 to 150 people. So gosh, you think about just mega churches, you know? We won't even, well, maybe we shouldn't think about mega churches, we'll move on. But 20 to 150 people, you think about a small enough gathering almost to replace that word of family. Traditionally, tribe has been defined as, and I quote, a group of people forming a community and claiming descent from a common ancestor. And I think about growing up as a little girl, when I think about tribes, I think about National Geographic, because they showed tribes and tribal customs, and we went, whoa, look at that. And that's the only place you could see naked women too, you know, halfway up for some of the guys that were interested, but I digress. But so that's what I sort of thought a tribe was. And then I'm coming from the mountains of North Carolina, right? And people would laugh and say, oh, Hatfields and McCoys. And it didn't matter how many times I pointed to Kentucky. It just didn't matter. I was lumped into, clans. Clans. What clan are you a part of? Well, and I didn't like that word. A lot of people I know didn't really like that word because it can be derogatory. And I began to realize that perhaps tribe could be derogatory when I looked at those people versus when people called me a clan or tribe. I was in a clan or tribe. So there's problems with it. We'll go over it, but we're gonna hang on to it anyway. We're gonna claim it. Language though is alive, and that's where sometimes we make mistakes, and that's where sometimes we get caught up. We actually kill people over languages and determinations of definitions and yada yada. But language is alive and it's malleable, and so the term tribe has grown. It has grown in its meaning to encompass more than those with common lineage, more than those with just a culture or common language. Today, it is also defined by occupation and interest and activity. So I think using those definitions even, this is sort of a tribe. Now, we could meet and it just be a group that meets. But there's something else with this group, if you attend very long, you'll find, is a feeling of caring and concern and claiming, an invitation to be claimed and to claim. And that is an essential part of tribe. People who know you, and sometimes you don't have to have the group think going on. You don't have to be exactly alike, or even with one voice. And so when you come to this particular group, the Universalist Unitarians, look at the flag. All those different differences, yet still tribal in the sense of you're accepted and loved and welcomed and wanted here. I will talk just a little bit about the purpose of tribe. When we think about tribe, when we think about that, you look at the order and the reassurance of continuity in human interaction. It's important for us to have that. It reaffirms meaning and the need to bond to community, that we have a place, if you will, to go where we are part of a community and accepted, which is profoundly important. It is a human need. Eric Erickson goes on and to talk about this as the numinous element of adult ritual. He says this development occurs as an infant with really what you're doing right now, Mom, over in the corner. And that greeting, when you first have an infant, when we're very small, the fact that we recognize in each other, the baby recognizes mother or father or recognizes the caregiver, and that mutual recognition, that repeated tones of caring, naming, gestures, helps to overcome this sense of separation. It affirms a life-sustaining relationship. So we have that need of belonging. We know with Maslow's hierarchy, the love and belonging that's there. And so that helps us start attaching and in need with that. We know when there's problems. When a child is having difficulties, we speak of it in terms of attachment problems, right? I've worked with autistic children. And sometimes at birth, one of the things you look for is their sort of a sense of away, a difference, an inability to bond or attract. Erickson goes on to say the numinous element assures us of separateness, transcended, yet also a distinctive, confirmed, and thus the very basis of the sense of I. So that very essential first experiences of bonding and relationship and belonging that occurs when we're very, very small is a need that needs to be filled throughout our life. So you find a tribe. You may be born into one, but you find your tribe. Our gay and lesbian communities, people in the community have known that. I love it. If you go down Church Street, Tribe is a really cool club. If you've never been, you should go. It's so they accept everybody. But it's that feeling of a place where people could go, have fun, let their hair down, be accepted for who they are, however they are, and how powerful a feeling that is. It's really awesome. So people that understand that will understand the value of what I'm talking about, to identify and find a tribe. There are tribes with Pokemon cards. There used to be. Now if you play, what is it, Civilization or some of the other video games, you can be in a tribe. You might buy a t-shirt, you chit-chat online with people. You belong sort of to that group, and that's important to you and to the group. Now, the rituals with that sometimes are difficult and sometimes need to be changed. When we think about the customs, now customs are more behaviors and patterns of behaviors. For instance, if I see someone on the street, I say hello. If I know them, I might shake their hand. Me, I'm likely to hug you, you know, Southern and all that kind of stuff. But you have to be respectful, too, not grab on to people. But it's that tendency of, how are you? I'm glad to see you. It's a custom. We have to change customs sometimes, don't we? And that's very difficult. One of the things that change agents, certainly in business, will tell you is that you go in and you're trying to make change. You go in and you do that. And people will say, and this happens in churches or communities of faith frequently, when a new pastor or a new person comes in, that's not the way we used to do it. Or we do it differently here. And so what they're saying underneath that is that's who we are. This is our custom. This is our tradition. This is our rituals that we have. And so when you just go in and barrel through those, you can cause us a great deal of problems. And more importantly, if you're trying to make change, you are actually adding to the anxiety, adding to the difficulty. So by listening to a group and figuring out what they value and why, then you understand that customs represent something very important. If somebody sees me and they hug me or claim me, that's what they've done. They've claimed me. I keep trying not to say mark me, because I live with too many animals, and thank goodness we don't do it the same way. But they claim me. And if they do that publicly, then people see, oh, this person has a person that likes them, that accepts them, that acknowledges them publicly, and that is profound. But it's so common sometimes we forget the sacredness of it, how important it is to us. And sometimes we have to change those. Now, what is happening now? Your flu season's coming on. And I learned at an early age to do the handshake thing. And, you know, and there was a lot of written stuff about how important it was to have a firm handshake. That meant something. And some of you may have had the same experience. So, you know, handshake, that's something I tend to do, is grab somebody's hand and shake it before I don't even ask, you know, because that's a custom, right? Well, guess what's changing? Yes, the germs, the germophobia and the germs, but the fear of, yeah. So now people, yeah, it's like, let's bump fist, you know, or hello and bow. I always like that, namaste, or, you know, nodding, or, you know, and you see people will do this, elbow, yes, something. We can do the whole bump thing, get into it. But there is this sort of that need for you to at least slow down on the hand grabbing in case someone is, well, hello and how are you? And that's kind of, if the hands are going under the arms, you know, with arms crossed, that's a little barrier, symbolic barrier. Let's be careful here. I don't want to get sick, which is a real concern. Let's think about what's happening where Ebola is coming through and how that's changing rituals. And it's not here in the United States, just so don't panic, people. Okay. I don't have to say that to you at all. That's just a... Not yet, but when you think about what's happening in Sierra Leone, for example, some of the cultural habits, rituals that are absolutely critical is touch and cleaning of the body. When somebody dies, you clean the body. Guess what? We do that here. You know, a lot of times you look at other customs and other people and you set them aside and go, oh, look what they do. Yeah, ha, ha, ha. No, no, no. We do it here. We just don't do it personally, right? We don't want to touch that. You know, we have somebody cart them off and do all that kind of, yeah, we've removed ourselves from the real. So they clean and touch and care for and have their rituals over the body. And that is a very important part of saying go, or let go, letting go and saying goodbye and releasing. And now, guess what? You do that sort of thing, and you're next in line with that particular disease. So it's very problematic, and they're trying to change cultural patterns and ritualistic behavior, which is very, very hard because it's deeply ingrained. So much of it that we don't think about it as being, oh, hi, I'm going to greet you with a custom now. Our custom is to shake hands or to hug or to whatever. We don't think of that. We just do it. Rituals such as what we just went through today with the liturgy, with the creed, repeating the creed and repeating the commonality, the lighting of the chalice, the chiming of the bell to call us in. Those are rituals. And rituals differ in some ways because they're more ceremonial. They're deliberate in that they mark a special time. And so it's really important that you claim them. And in this day and time, there's lots of reasons to kind of step back and go, do I really want to embrace the largeness of what's going on? And am I part of that larger culture? Or is my smaller tribe more important? Robert Gregory has quite a comment about it, and I'm going to read it because he said it so well, and it's long, but I want to talk just a bit about problems with it now. Tribes, wonderful, and you should have tribes, but let's look at problems. It's people's in there, so we've always got some problems. You need to look at it, is it more hierarchical or is it mutual? You can have both. Tribal, where, you know, there's a tribal chief, or there's a head of the CEO, or the president, or whatever. You can have then a mutuality where it is more of a shared responsibility where you're working together and you don't have the formal hierarchies that you do in other groups. And just as with most things, a tribe, if it's too, let's say, non-formal, too informal, then it can fail. Because what were one of the reasons or purposes of a tribe? To have that continuity, to have that sort of assurance, sort of like walking through life and going, oh wait, that's a firm step. I know I can go to UU, or I know I can go here, or I know I can get online. And as people go, as people pass, and since I've been coming here to talk with you, there have been people in this community who have passed or have moved or have gone into latter stages of life when they cannot physically come here anymore. And as we do that, that causes uncertainty in the group, right? We lose people. We miss them. We lose people in our lives that are important, and that upsets our order. It causes chaos, and especially at important times. So we look for our other tribes, and we can belong to more than one at one time. So we look to see where's firm footing that we know will be there. So rather than just people casually gathering, we're not a flash mob, right? We don't just come in and go out. We have consistent, organized methods of making sure we're cared for, we have unity, we have the things we need to embrace each other and to help each other grow spiritually, as you talked about in your readings. On the other hand, we become too rigid, if an organization becomes too rigid and the rules sort of become what it's about, the rituals, we have to do the ritual no matter what, it loses its meaning. And we end up actually damaging the others in an organization. Remember, flexibility and malleability needs to be in there, in rituals as well. So there's problems with that. There's also problems if identifying with a tribe. Certainly we know the history of what happens when you identify with a tribe, or have been identified with a tribe. Historically, that's what's happened. Historically, it's when colonization occurred that nation states came in and said, see those people over there? That's the whatever tribe. Those people over there, and that's a different tribe. And so they were not self-identifying as, hi, I'm a tribe. No, it was the conquerors and the colonialists who were identifying the other, those who were not them. So that's problematic. We know what tends to happen is, you know, they can go in and just ravage and pillage and, you know, all for the sake of profit for the nation state or organization or corporation, and damage the very tribe or the custom or that group of people, their livelihood, their environment, their self-esteem. We have no further to look than our Native Americans and what they have gone through with our taking over their lands. I wanted to take up from there with the other examples because we don't really think of them sometimes. We rail against stuff, but we're not really sure why we are, and perhaps because we're in a different tribe or we feel disenfranchised from the larger group. Says, and Robert Gregory, in his definition of tribe, and I'll give you the exact title later on during the second hour, but it says, other examples are many. The mass media being under control of the powers that be typically ignore the local, and in his case, a tribe is a local. The local, except to pull out aberrant excerpts that titillate, frighten, amuse, or poke fun or what others live by. Don't we have that happen sometimes? We go no further also than down the road to our Muslim friends who are trying to worship in the way they see fit and live in their lifestyle. And my goodness, you know, anything that happens, my joke is now, well, it's the Muslims. You know, because it's Islam, because obviously that's the Ebola problem. It's the Muslims, right? Because it's an exaggeration because people have dumped so much on that particular tribe or community. It goes on to say the military forces recruits from local populations, then train soldier to follow the dictates of the state rather than the wishes or the needs of the local population. And yet, and even to kill in the name of we are us, but yet they refrain from rewarding local populations except with body bags and medals, scars, bad memories, and parades of honor. Well, we are called in, you know, for Ferguson to make sure they don't kill each other, but they're there on behalf of the state, right, to keep order. Now, good or bad, I'm using examples of what he says is problematic and why tribes have had difficulties and why the word has sometimes been problematic. The churches, nothing escapes here. The churches not only serve to rip off their local populations in the guise of a supernatural, but also take away the abilities of people to think for themselves. Further, the people are made to contribute as sycophants to the grandeur of the church and the nation state. Education is not about locally usable skills such as planting gardens, fixing and repairing appliances, getting along with neighbors, becoming self-sufficient, or knowing local history, genealogy, geography, plants, and animals. Instead, education confuses, obscures, pulls individuals into supporting distant others, the kings, queens, jet setters, financiers, politicians, sports heroes, and all too often the thieves and crooks, enabling these so-called royalty to live lives of luxury at the expense of populations that work harder and suffer. Quite the rampage on the status quo. And sometimes the very organizations that we sort of feel we belong to or belonged to. That's quite the challenge to think about it. But in some respect, I feel more comfortable than thinking about being in the tribe, in the tribal rather than the larger society at large, in the kingdom, if you were going to use that language, a smaller tribe in the kingdom where I have a say-so over who I share my beliefs and my occupation, my thoughts, my love with, who I share my table with and my journey in life with. Once you read that, you sort of, I'm sure some of you identified with that. I did to a certain degree with a little bit of all of it, all of those groups. And especially the ones when it talks about the media is pointing out those that are so different from our cultures and poking fun, and we tend to poke fun and look at those people. You know, in Ferguson right now, there are people saying, what's wrong with those people? You know, and that can be on either side, but certainly it tends to be on, we still have racial issues, racial problems in this country. So with all of that, once again, and to look at your personal, where you are in the space of life, where you are with your roller skates and maybe take them off, what I'd ask you to think about then, what is important when you identify your tribe and your customs and your rituals? To not just randomly or thoughtlessly participate, to purposely choose your tribes carefully. And when you do, then support them well. Strengthen them and the things you like in them and those within them. Because these forces that we see outside affect us all in different ways every day. So, especially going into this crazy busy holiday season. Now, I'm not suggesting that we let go of everything, but to grab on to what we choose mindfully, make it ours, make it our tribes, make it something we value, customs, not so much as rituals, the defined, definite, purposeful, sort of celebratory acts that cause us to stop in time and recognize where we are. We've got Thanksgiving coming up, which is really, truly a wonderful holiday. It's so neglected. I always feel so sorry for the shoved over, colors of orange and brown and, you know, looks so, I don't know, 90% off clearance rack already. And that's like, Thanksgiving's not even here. It's not here yet. But we have to shove it out of the way for the next. So, but it's reclaiming it. We try to reclaim it, to think about what we're really thankful for. This community does. This tribe does. Next week is your gratitude ceremony, isn't it? So it will be a time for ritual recognition of all that we are grateful for, which is really what Thanksgiving was about. It really used to be. So look at when you feel bogged down or you feel like, you know, the moose who's doing a lot and maybe a little herring bite. Think about what you really want. Shed what you don't. Find those within your tribe who want to share it. And then have those rituals and claim them. And don't let them define you so. It's so hard when we go through it and the things that we used to love we can do no more because no one's there to share it with us. Then reach out and find someone who will. Make a place for those who've gone, but bring in someone new to the tribe. And make sure that you can share and start maybe a new ritual and a new practice for that particular holiday or moment. I wish you all the best in your rituals and customs this year. I thank you for letting me be here, and I wish you again happy holidays. Okay. Thank you.